ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And tonight's panelists on Minds Over Matter will be author Jerry Nachman, music critic and writer Joshua Cosman, and your host, Dana Rodriguez.
It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't this.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a very pleasant Easter and or Passover, as the case may be. And we also hope you'll give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are asking for your participation out there. So if you've recovered from all the Easter brunch you had today, or dinner, or however you want to do it, then please settle back and listen to our show and give us a call. The number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to call in. Sometimes you can get a little crowded toward the end of the show, but please give us a call as soon as you can, 415-841-4134. I want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. It's always a pleasure to hear from our listeners out there, however, whatever you want to tell us. And again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. We don't read the emails during the show, but over the course of the week, if you'd like to hear us online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the known world just by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. We are on right now as we speak. And if you would like to get a podcast of this show, God willing, it will be available afterwards, and there won't be any problems with it. If there are problems, email me, let me know, and I will pass that along to the powers that be here at the station. So again, hopefully that podcast will be available at kalw.org. So we're going to start with a round of introductions, then a round of questions. And oh, I should mention that we'll be doing questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, music, etc. So, here's the first intro. Jerry Nachman had a very confusing and frustrating weekend hunting for matzos and Easter eggs and W-2 forms.
Joshua Cosman spent the weekend perfecting his new culinary invention, the chocolate-coated matzo bunny.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, took his family to an Easter brunch, but in a nod to the other religious holiday this week, he didn't pass over any food in the buffet line.
All right, so that is us, and we'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nachman. You liked that one, huh?
I did. Okay, I did. I've heard some jokes about using the word, but never that one.
All right.
Who wrote, quote, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes"? A phrase we throw around
Benjamin
all the time.
Franklin.
Yes. Oh,
good job.
Very good. Okay. Well, now I'll give you a harder one, okay. I hope. Who were Dow and Jones of the Average's fame?
Yeah.
You know.
That's a good one.
When you say who are they, you mean...
Who were they?
Or who were they, I should say. What do you want to know about them?
Who were they?
Okay.
I mean, why... What? Yeah. They founded, I guess, the Dow Jones Average, and who were they?
I have no idea.
Did they have a brokerage house?
I don't know.
I thought it was somehow connected with the Wall Street Journal, but maybe I'm...
That's right.
Did they found it, or were they editors of it?
Well, you're close enough. The founder of the Wall Street Journal was Charles Henry Dow.
Okay.
And the other one, so that's half of it.
He was the founder of the journal?
He was a co-founder, and Jones.
I see. Uh-huh.
But Jones had nothing to do with the Wall Street Journal?
No, I'm sorry, the founder of the Dow Jones Averages. No, Jones had nothing to do with the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
All right.
And now, you know, there's a brokerage house named for him.
Yes. I want to say Edward Jones, but it's...
I would say Ernest?
Ernest Jones? No.
Edward Jones, you're right.
Edward Jones, yeah.
But, okay, well, he didn't found it. I gave it to you, really, but he was a statistician.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You want to give us one more question?
I would like
something
to
throw out
since
for
I never
people?
I never do two at a time like you, some of you guys.
All right, yeah.
Okay. Within 10%, what was the price of these items in 1912?
All right.
Victrola console. Uh-huh. I'll give you about four. a new four-bedroom home, a Brownie camera, and a quart of milk.
Brownie camera.
Victrola console, a new four-bedroom home, a Brownie camera, and a quart of milk.
A quart of milk cost a nickel.
Well, it's not quite 10%, but it's close enough. 9 cents, actually. 9 cents.
All right. But if you searched around, you could probably find it for a nickel.
Yeah.
Costco at the time.
A Brownie camera. Okay, so Brownie had actually been around maybe 10 years by that time, by 1912, probably more, actually. I think it was in the 1890s. Okay, I will say $4.
No.
Okay. Now, a four-bedroom house you could buy from Sears, the Montgomery Ward catalog.
Is that right?
Just get a four-bedroom house.
Wow.
And you'd have to hire somebody to put it together for you, but they would send you everything.
Really?
Yes. I've seen those advertisements.
Wow. Is that right?
That's amazing.
And they're nice houses, too, by the way. Yeah. This is the average price in the United States?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Four bedroom house. New.
Yeah.
Okay. And 1912. I'll say
you're overthinking it, Dana.
Maybe I am, but I'll say $5,000.
No.
Okay. That's probably too much.
How about the console?
Yeah.
Victrola.
Well, they had different models, you know.
Well, this is a top-of-the-line
model. Top-of-the-line model?
Yeah.
Okay. Top-of-the-line. I'm probably wrong about this, too. I'll say $50.
No.
All right.
Okay. Okay, what were the price of where you got the quart of milk with 9 cents?
I made a dive for the low-hanging fruit.
Josh got that.
Victrola console. These are all, what were the price of these items in 100 years ago, 1912? Victrola console, top of the line, a new four-bedroom home, and a Brownie camera.
Brownie camera. I'll take one more guess on the Brownie camera.
Okay.
$295.
No.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
And let's go do a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yeah, this is San Mateo. Hello. Got a couple questions.
Okay.
The first one is, you know, this big brouhaha, this big thing about the Three Stooges movie coming out on Friday?
Yes.
How many Howard Brothers were there actually? What was the difference? What was the difference about the last one?
The difference, what?
How many Howard Brothers?
Okay. Oh, well,
I thought you'd run out of Three Stooges questions by now.
No, there was Moe, Curly, Shemp.
Two other brothers.
Gummo and Zeppelin.
Gummo, yeah.
There.
Want me to tell it to you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Jack and Irving. You know what was the difference between the last one?
No.
He kept the original family name of Horowitz. He didn't change it.
Oh, okay. Huh.
There's one question for Josh.
Uh-oh.
Who was the first film composer to conduct the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra?
The first film composer?
Yeah.
Can we guess also?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bernard Herrmann.
Nope.
How about Miklos Rocha?
Nope.
I might have thought about that. I'm going to say Franz Waxman.
Oh, give yourself a ballot.
That was my next guess.
Well,
I got it. Okay. Well, it has to be one of about four, right?
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Gary. Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Please give us a call for the question or answer, 415-841-4134. Happy holidays to everybody, 415-841-4134. And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay, so the National Film Registry, you know, annually puts together a list of movies that are worth preserving in the Library of Congress. They've got 575 movies in that list so far. My question, I have a two-parter. Based on the fact that films have to be 10 years old, at least, to be selected. My first part question is, what were the five films so far that have been selected at their earliest eligibility, that is, as soon as they were 10 years old?
Oh.
And second,
how many are there?
There are five. Five that have been inducted immediately at the 10-year mark.
Mm-hmm.
And the second question is, what was in the first batch of 25, which was in 1989, what was the newest film or the most recent film in that first batch?
In 1989.
Well, I'll take the low-hanging fruit.
Sure.
This time, Gone with the Wind.
No, Gone with the Wind was already 40... I can't do the math. I mean, it was several decades old by 1989.
Could you give us
a little hint on
I see,
and tell us how old the film actually was in the newest film in 1989? I mean, what year?
Not quite yet, because I think it's a
Since 1989.
I'm saying in 1989, the first batch of 25 films were inducted. What was the youngest film in that batch? It was just over 10 years old.
Oh, I see.
At that
okay,
point.
So like 1978.
It was the only one. It was the only one in that first batch that was made in the 70s.
Give the whole question once more.
So in 1989, the first batch of 25 movies inducted into the National Film Registry. What was the only one in that batch that was made as recently as the 70s? That's the way to have phrased it originally. And then the second part was, of the 575 films that have been inducted since, what were the only five that were inducted immediately on their 10-year eligibility?
I actually have a book of all the films.
But I
didn't memorize them.
No, that was short-sighted.
So it would have been 78 or 79. What would that have been, Dana?
I'm not sure this would work, but is Taxi Driver, Raging Bull one?
One of those is correct.
I'll say Raging Bull.
Raging Bull is correct.
Yeah.
Made in 1980 and inducted in 1990.
Right.
Good. So you got one of the five.
Okay.
We'll leave the other four out there. So we're looking for the other four films that were put in the National Film Registry for the Library of Congress as soon as they were eligible, which was 10 years after they were released. And then the other question is, in the first batch in 1989, what was the most recent film at that time which had been made? It was the only one in the first batch that was released in the 1970s.
Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We have a couple of lines open right now. Please give us a call, 415-841-4134, with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. I guess I'll just go ahead and do the questions here first, and I'll take a call. Okay. Who is the only Academy Award-winning actor that is buried at Arlington National Cemetery?
I think you asked us
I don't think I did it.
Oh, maybe
somebody else did.
Audie Murphy never won an Oscar.
No, and he is there. And there are a few actors there, but this is the only... people who had terrific war records.
Jimmy Stewart.
No, he's not there, but Wayne Morris is there.
Mm-hmm.
Audie Murphy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else. Dashiell Hammett is there.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, so who is the only Academy Award-winning actor that is buried at Arlington National Cemetery? At least that I could find out.
Okay.
Is he pretty prominent, or is he more of the Chester Morris category?
No, he's quite a famous actor.
Really? Okay.
Huh.
Hmm.
All right.
How about Ray Milland?
Did he?
No.
Okay.
Did he make more movies?
Not after he died. make more movies?
Did he make war movies?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, not exclusively.
No.
But he made a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Long career.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the only Academy Award-winning actor to be that is buried at Arlington National Cemetery? And second question, the original name of what famous product was Boop-Boop-A-Doop?
The original name
of what famous product was Boop-Boop-A-Doop?
Did that come after Betty Boop? Or
That's a good question. I'm not absolutely sure about that.
So that would have been in the 20s, I imagine, right?
Yeah.
What famous product?
20th century.
Is it still around?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Is it an edible product?
No, it is not.
Is it Brill Cream?
No.
A boop-a-doop will do you?
Yeah, that's a good guess, something like that.
The original name of what famous product that is still very much around today was boop-boop-a-doop.
Is it a grooming product?
It is not a grooming product.
Okay. I don't know.
That's what Josh says. It's not. And, yes, and the other question, who is the only Academy Award-winning actor to be buried at Arlington National Cemetery?
Was he known to be sort of a patriot, publicly, I mean?
Not a huge flag waver type, no.
Not like Charlton Heston?
No, okay. No. Or John Wayne, not like
well,
that.
Well, Wayne didn't.
Yeah, I know. Wayne never served sure, in the military. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelson-Riedel.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I want to take a guess as to the cost of a new home in 1912.
Okay.
How about $1,500?
No.
Okay. All right. I'd like to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
And the first part has to do with spelling. And we have the privilege of having a lot of deer that drop in and visit us throughout the year, especially now. And they have babies and bring them here and they hang out. So how do you spell the name of a baby deer?
F-A-W-N.
Okay. Do you all agree on that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Actually,
I thought it was F-A-U-N, but...
That's a mythical
okay,
beast
so
with...
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Okay.
With the, yeah,
oh,
that...
so you... All right. So you agree with them.
Yeah, the F-A-W-N, as Jerry said, is the deer, and F-A-U-N is the goat man from the...
All right, well, you guys are doing great so far. Are you ahead of me? Because I didn't know that.
Okay.
Okay, now, the second question is about deer in California, and this is the season for fawns, F-A-W-N. There was an estimate in the Chronicle just recently about how many baby deer can be expected during the spring season in California. I wonder if you'd take a guess.
Yeah, lots.
Yeah, I don't have a context for that. Let's see.
In all of California?
Yes, according to this article.
I wonder if the term fawning comes from fawn somehow. Is that spelled W-N or U-N?
It's W.
W-N, yeah.
W. I don't know the origin.
All right. I'll say 60,000.
Okay.
Is that's low, isn't it?
Well, you make a guess.
I'm going to say 150,000.
Okay.
I'll say 20,000.
Okay. Yeah, you're all low, according to this article.
Okay.
Said it was around 400,000. I'm not
wow.
sure.
Wow. Right.
They sometimes inflate those numbers just to sell papers, I can tell you.
I don't know. Well, you know how many births a doe typically has. How many babies.
Not a lot. I thought it wasn't. I mean,
probably not that many.
A couple at the most.
Yeah, from our experience, it's one or two.
Yeah.
And then just a kind of related question: how many mountain lions do you think there are?
A lot. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fewer and fewer all the time.
2,000.
Well, okay. Any guesses?
I'll say 6,000.
Okay.
10,000.
Okay. Well, between 2 and 6 is perfect. About 4,000, so you can figure it out how many, if you want to.
How many of those are going to eat fawns?
Right. So
that's the real question.
That's your final thing to think about.
All right. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin. Good to hear from you.
Nice to be here. I told you a few weeks ago I was going to call in with some Charo questions for you.
Yeah, you warned me about that. I haven't done any Charo research, so this is all right.
You mean there's more than one?
Unfortunately, there were really only a couple of Charo questions. That's
right.
Charo from Spain. So I'm going to ask you about Charo from Mexico, Charro. What kind of profession is that?
C-H-A-R-R-O.
Someone who barbecues.
No.
Barbecue chef. No, is it Charo?
Charo.
No,
okay. Huh. Okay.
Charo.
Does it have anything to do with animals?
It does.
Okay. Something to do with donkeys?
No, but you're close.
I want to say... I
mean, possibly.
Like a... Not a... Not a trainer, exactly, but...
A burrow keeper.
Somebody who breaks animals or something of that?
It's a horseman.
Okay.
Similar to a ranchero.
All right.
And with costume and things like that, and participating in the national sport there in Mexico. So here's your other question.
Mm-hmm.
What is a charro? Capital C-H-A-R-R-O, exclamation point.
C-H-A-R-R-O, exclamation point.
Yes.
It's a musical.
Actually, kind of, no.
No.
Is that...
A cereal.
That's not an Elvis Presley movie, is it?
It is an Elvis Presley movie.
I knew that.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else was in that one? I never heard of that.
One of those late 60s Elvis Presley films.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think I've ever sat through an entire Elvis Presley film, so I don't think I can...
I understand your pain. I think that the idea there is that he is a charro in Mexico.
Oh, all right. Well, of course that makes sense.
Or at least that, you know, taking on that kind of a role.
Because when I think of Mexicans, I think of Elvis Presley.
There's two particularly unique features about that movie. One is that he doesn't sing in it. He only does like the title song. He's not on screen singing.
Is that one of the few films where he didn't sleep with a leading lady?
I don't know.
Supposedly there were only two when he didn't, but...
I don't know. Dolores
Hart was one. Wasn't she in one of his
movies? Yeah, he didn't sleep with Dolores Hart.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that he wore a beard in that movie.
Oh, right, yeah.
Unlike any of his other films, so... Those are my charo questions for you. We got through it.
I thought I was expecting something about the Love Boat and charo, but I guess not.
Who cares?
Do you have any Xavier Cugat questions?
I was going to say, I was already with Xavier Cugat.
I might be able to answer those.
Yeah. And we can segue into the Abby Lane questions.
Yeah.
I'll put them up for you.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay,
bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. We are here, as I said, just about every Sunday, and our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman, of course, the paperback version of his book, right here on our stage tonight. Ed Sullivan's America is available in all your better bookstores and online. Joshua Cosman, you can read in the San Francisco Chronicle, where he does his fine work as a music critic, a classical music critic. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Jerry, it is your turn.
Okay, I'm afraid I may have to recuse you from this, Dana.
Don't be.
Because it's such a good question, I don't want you to shoot it down in 12 seconds. What do these, I think, what do these movies have in common? Excuse me. The Killers, with Six You Get Egg Roll, The Harder They Fall, The Shootist, Soylent Green, Ragtime, To Be or Not to Be, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Wow.
All right.
You know it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad I got you out of here. Okay, what do these movies have in common? The Killers, with Six You Get Egg Roll, The Harder They Fall, The Shootist, Soylent Green, Ragtime, To Be or Not to Be, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and that's all.
Did you say The Harder They Fall or The Harder They Come?
The Harder They Fall.
What's that?
It's a boxing movie. The Harder They Fall.
Oh. I was going to The Harder They Come.
I'm not going to answer the question, but
don't say, as long as you say something, it gives it away.
No, but you should clarify this one little point.
Okay. Which To Be or Not to Be? The Jack Benny... Okay, not the Mel Brooks remake.
No.
There are two versions of The Killers.
Oh, okay.
So you may want to just clarify that.
I will clarify that.
It's the later one.
The later one.
Okay.
Yes, I thought that the one I was thinking of was too early, so yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm getting nowhere with this.
You should go through the list once more, Jerry.
Once more. The Killers, the later one. With six, you get egg roll, the only one. The harder they fall, the shootest. Soylent Green, Ragtime, To Be or Not To Be, the one with Jack Benny and Carol Lombard. Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. What do they all have in common?
So the Misfits wouldn't be on this list?
The Misfits might be. I think it might be.
I'm just guessing. Ragtime was.
I think it would be on. Yes, I think it would be on this
okay.
list.
So you know? Well, I'm guessing. I mean, Ragtime is James Cagney's last movie,
right?
And Guess Who's Coming to Dinner is probably Spencer Tracy's last movie,
right?
And then there's a whole bunch of other movies. That is Soylent Green, Charlton Heston's last
Edward
movie.
Edward G. Robinson. Very good. You
okay.
got it. I'll give you all of them. Okay, but The Killers is Ronald Reagan's last movie.
Right.
With Six You Get Egg Roll was Doris Day's last movie.
Oh.
The Harder They Fall was Bogart's last movie. The Shootist is John Wayne's last movie. Soylent Green, Edward G. Robinson's last movie. Ragtime, Cagney. And To Be or Not To Be, Carol Lombard. And Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Spencer Tracy.
Right. And The Misfits.
Well, you said The Misfits.
But spell it out.
Gable's last movie.
Gable.
And?
Monroe?
It's Monroe's last completed film.
No, it's not. No, she made Let's Make Love is her last
No, movie. That was actually the year before.
Oh, it was, okay.
Yeah.
I thought there were three on that
was
movie.
There was
Gable and Marilyn Monroe and the director or...
Montgomery
no.
Cliff?
No, just Gable?
All right.
So it's not Marilyn Monroe.
No, it is. It's her last completed film, but she was working. She was like halfway done.
Or released film, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you are right. Misfits is right.
Right.
Good.
Very good. Very good.
Good question.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hey, I think I got the answer to the boop boop ba-doop question.
Oh, good. Okay.
Is it the whoopee cushion?
It is the whoopee cushion. Oh, yes.
Good.
My life is complete. Thank you, John.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yes.
Well, we like to do that for people.
Boop Boop Doop was the original name for the whoopee cushion. Correct. Good job. And, if you'd like, we have a couple of lines open. If you'd like to give us a call, 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter, 415-841-4134. Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. I have no idea if this is an interesting question, but I'll throw it out there, and if it bores us to death, I'll withdraw it. But I was researching something else recently, and I came across a study by the Bay Area Center for Voting Research done in 2005, which ranked the most liberal and the most conservative American cities. To my great surprise, Berkeley is only the third most liberal city in the country.
Uh-huh.
Can you guess which are the first two? And just so it's not a random shoot, I will say that these are not centers for latte sipping, Prius driving liberals. These are sort of working class, you know, union African-American cities.
So yeah. I shouldn't say Boulder, Colorado, or Portland, Oregon.
Exactly, which would have been my guess.
Not New York City?
Nope.
Hmm.
No.
Are these? Amazing. Can you say, are these major cities?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. And when you say liberal, you mean like vote Democratic, for instance?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there was some kind of complicated formula that they used to assess the...
Well, Detroit.
There you go. Number one.
Yeah.
Number one.
Good.
Number two is harder. Number two is...
The most conservative.
I know one of the most...
No, you want the top...
The second. In other words, the ones that are ranked as more liberal than Berkeley.
Absolutely one of the most democratic cities in the U.S. is Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's fourth on the list.
Okay.
And San Francisco was fifth.
All right.
But the Detroit, it's more in line with Detroit, you know. Flint, Michigan is on the list a little further down.
Yeah.
It's that kind of city.
All right. And the one we're still looking for is a major city.
Yeah, it's not as major as Detroit.
Okay.
I believe it's the large. It's a Midwestern city. I think it's the largest city in its state. I could be wrong about that.
Madison?
Not Madison.
That's a good guess. Though.
That's a good guess.
Cleveland, Ohio.
No. But in that neck of the woods.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
just read the top of the part.
So the most liberal cities in the United States, according to the Bay Area Center for Voting Research, number one was Detroit. Berkeley came in third. I'm looking for the number two spot, which is, as I say, is sort of a Rust Belt city in the Midwest with a big union presence.
Pittsburgh.
Not Pittsburgh.
And did you say the most conservative cities?
I didn't.
You didn't ask me.
The most conservative city is Provo, Utah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, you weren't going to guess that.
We might have.
Yeah, you would have gone to Salt Lake City first.
Well, maybe. Okay.
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Yazid, how are you?
Hey, good.
So, Easter, happy Easter, happy Passover.
Thank you.
Easter celebrated all over the Middle East as the day of the spring, and it goes back 6,000 years. But what does it get the name Easter?
Well, to do with the East, right?
No.
It doesn't? Oh.
No.
I read that somewhere, but I...
Is it a corruption of another word, Ian?
Corruption of what?
Is it a corruption of another word?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Eastern was originally something in Egyptian.
Not Egyptian.
Aramaic?
No. All right, because I have a couple of other questions for you. It is named after the goddess Ishtar, which was Babylonian.
Oh, Esther. Oh, very good.
Very good.
Very good.
Okay, number two question is that you only have one guess. If you don't, then we'll leave it to the audience.
All right.
What is the difference between, I mean, one guess for every total. What is the difference between 1 BC and 1 AD in years? How many years goes between 1 BC and 1 AD? Leave it to the audience, and also, okay. Whoever answered, I want them to tell you why. The last question is a really interesting question. All of us are really worried about global warming. In fact, myself, I don't think humans are going to be able to survive in this planet after, at the most, 200 years, maybe even 100 years, because it's just going to get too warm. Cows produce methane gas, and methane gas is about 10 times as effective in global warming as carbon dioxide. An average cow puts out 400...
An average what? I'm sorry.
Cow.
Cow. Cow. Cows put out...
Oh, cow.
You know, they do 400 liters of methane gas every day. Every day. It takes 5 days to produce a pound of meat. So it takes 2,000 cubic liters of methane gas to go in the atmosphere for global warming... To make a pound of meat. So whenever you're enjoying your steak,
I won't think of this.
You have to of that. So for the pound of meat, how many pound of grass does the cow have to eat?
Oh,
I'll leave that to your audience. It's really very. We all have to get involved. We definitely have a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. I have a question coming up for you later. So
okay.
Listen carefully.
Thanks, Ed.
I will.
Right.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. And now the one AD and the one BC and the one AD, we should be able to figure that out, shouldn't we?
No, because it's
not me.
It's not something we can logic out. It would be a convention. It's either 1 year or 2 year. The question is there a year zero or not?
Right.
And I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I'm going to guess probably not, but I don't know.
Probably not. Mm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And let's see. Oh,
your
it's my turn. Yes, quite right. All right. Oh, we are a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
Okay, well, within 10%, what was the price of these items in 1912? A Victrola console, a new four-bedroom home, and a Brownie camera. Within 10%.
Josh?
What's the second most liberal city after Detroit and the United States? And... what were the five films chosen for the National Film Registry that were inducted immediately as soon as they were eligible, which was 10 years after their release? Dana got one of them, Raging Bull. There were four more. Also, what was the newest film that was inducted in the first batch in the year 1989, the only one in that batch that was released in the 1970s?
Is The Godfather one of them?
It is not.
Okay.
How about for the second most liberal city, Charleston, West Virginia?
No.
Okay.
It's an interesting choice.
Well, coal miners.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who was the only Academy Award-winning actor to be buried at Arlington National Cemetery? And it's a very well-known actor.
What about Spencer Tracy?
No. Although
He
was in the service, but no, mm-hmm. he's not buried there. Who is the only Academy Award-winning actor to be buried at Arlington National Cemetery?
My goal is not to get these questions right. It's just to make guesses that aren't foolish.
All right.
Now, it is a he, though, you said.
It is a he, okay. And this person definitely saw action.
Oh, saw action. Oh.
Yes. They might have won a Purple Heart, too. I'm not absolutely certain about that, but I think so.
Okay. What seven-letter word in English contains 10 words without rearranging any of its letters?
Contains what?
What seven-letter word in English contains 10 other words without rearranging any of its letters? So I want you to give me the word, and once you give me the word, you can probably find out the 10 other words.
Seven letters.
Yes. What seven-letter word in English contains 10 words without rearranging any of its letters?
Can you give us the first letter?
How about another?
No.
You can't even give us the first letter because there's a lot of letters in the alphabet. You know.
I will do that in a few minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that won't give it away. There's zillions of words.
It would definitely help you.
No, it won't. It'll narrow it down, of course. But that's...
So once more, what seven-letter word in English contains 10 other words without rearranging any of its letters?
Wow.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Got some guesses on the 1912.
Prices,
The Victrola, $35?
No.
Four-bedroom, $1,200?
No.
Brownie camera, $8?
Bingo, $7.
Good.
Very good.
Good. And for a second liberal city, how about Cleveland, Ohio?
Not
somebody
quite. Dana guessed that. It's close. It's in the general vicinity.
Oh, Akron.
But it's not in Ohio. Then.
Akron. Oh,
no, not in Ohio.
Okay.
And for the actor in Arlington Cemetery, how about Frederick March?
Not Frederick March.
Oh, yeah. He should be because of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
He seemed appropriate.
Yeah.
And I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
I got a couple of fictitious addresses in London. I want you to tell me who lived at these places.
Like 22B Baker Street, you mean?
221B.
Or 221B, excuse
me.
Yes. 221B.
And who lived there?
Sherlock Holmes.
Very
or
good.
Yeah.
Who lived at 17 Cherry Tree Lane?
Mary, the Banks family.
Right.
Yes.
Good.
The what family?
The Banks family in Mary Poppins.
Oh, the Banks family. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Who lived at 56B Whitehaven Mansions? Charterhouse Square.
Oh. That's not
Charterhouse Square?
Oh, that's not Bertie Wooster, is it?
No.
Give me the address once more.
56B Whitehaven Mansions, Charterhouse Square.
Doesn't ring a bell.
I know 165 Eaton Place.
That was my next question.
Oh, okay.
Who's that?
Upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, the Bellamy's, yeah.
Whitehaven Mansion. What sort of genre does this fall into?
Detective.
Okay. Oh, Lord Peter Wimsey?
No.
Is this the detective himself that or herself that lives there?
Yes.
Whitehaven Mansion. No.
You got us.
Yeah.
Hercule Poirot.
Oh.
Lives in London?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah. He's from Belgium.
Oh, right, and you had the Bellamy's address.
Yes.
Is there another one?
Yes. 7 Savile Row.
Oh.
This is kind of tricky because the address only shows up very briefly in the work in question, which mostly takes place at various locations around the world.
James Bond?
No.
Oh. Phileas Fogg.
Yes.
Very good.
Okay.
I think the world might have tipped that one off.
Yeah, it was a nice hint. Thank you.
Good job. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
Good question.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is George in the Tenderloin.
Hi, George.
And I was wondering if you know, the question is, the name of a downtown San Francisco neighborhood that roughly would, if I'm not mistaken, correspond to the Tenderloin, that the name has fallen in disuse, but I remember it from the 60s.
Hmm. Well, I'm a little confused. Tenderloin, somewhere else, you mean?
It's a name of a neighborhood in San Francisco that's...
It was a district. They
Butchertown?
District.
Butchertown?
No, it's downtown.
Oh, it still exists?
Well, only in maybe some people's minds.
Right, okay. Downtown.
Well, there used
Barbary
to be...
Barbary Coast.
Was it?
Yeah, no, Barbary Coast.
It was. It roughly corresponded, if I'm not mistaken, to the Tenderloin District. And
oh, okay. Let's see. Roughly corresponds...
Where was Butchertown? I always hear that phrase.
Okay.
Where was so, that?
That was someplace south of Market.
Okay, as I remember this, because I was in the business, and maybe it was just used in the business itself, but the theater district. Does that ring any bells?
Theater district?
Yeah.
Well, it's still roughly called that, but it's not. There aren't that many theaters there.
And, I know.
Oh, you mean where the Golden Gate is, huh?
Well, I kind of, you know, Geary Street down to
Market Geary Street, yeah. Well, yeah, it's still called that.
It's true. There used roughly, to be a lot more theaters
you know,
there.
United Artists Theaters had their headquarters down on Golden Gate Avenue.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right there, so.
All right.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. I enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Did you ever go to the T&D Follies in downtown Oakland?
I didn't go, but I might have gone there. That was a rough neighborhood.
Parents wouldn't let you.
T&D, Tough and Dirty, they called it.
That was
Tough and Dirty, yeah.
That was the burlesque.
It was a burlesque house in its latter days. Or maybe, I don't think always was, but
I think so
the El Rey was the burlesque house.
Oh, was it?
The El Rey,
okay,
yeah, where Tempest Storm would appear.
Oh. Right.
And Blaze Starr.
Oh, Blaze Starr.
You remember her?
Yeah.
Played by?
What
was the movie she
Anna, I want to say Davidovich or something. Lola Davidovich.
Lola Davidovich.
Yeah,
Davidovich.
Right.
Whatever happened to her?
I
forgot about
her.
I don't know.
Yeah, she was in that movie with Paul Newman.
With Paul Newman,
yeah.
That's
right. Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Okay. Would the movie star be Audie Murphy?
Would not be Audie Murphy. This is an Academy Award-winning actor, so Audie Murphy
was not an Academy Award-winning actor. Carefully. All right.
Well, thank you. And Jerry, is it your turn?
I think it is.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'll ask this question that maybe we'll get Ede. It's a very much of an Ede-type question.
All right.
How long in Earth years is a cosmic year? That is the time it takes for our solar system to make one revolution around the center of the Milky Way galaxy.
Oh, wow. That's a long time, isn't
it? Yeah.
How long in Earth years is a cosmic year? That is the time it takes for our solar system to make one revolution around the center of the Milky Way galaxy. I'm sure we'll get 27 calls saying this is not the right answer or it's not defined accurately enough or something,
right.
But... I copied it exactly. It's not my field, as you well know. I don't travel that much.
All right. I'll leave that out there.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes?
Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Oh, wonderful. Is the actor buried at Arlington Harold Russell?
Not Harold Russell. No.
Oh, very good guess.
That's a very good guess, though, yeah.
He's not buried
Thank
there?
Thank you.
Huh. I don't think so, no. At least I couldn't.
Right.
I didn't find it. Okay. Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Charlie in Berkeley. I was about to guess Harold Russell also, so I don't have any answers.
He's a better known actor than that, I guess.
Yeah.
No, well, I mean Harold Russell.
I'll just take a guess at the new house cost,
mm-hmm.
$3,900.
How much?
$3,900.
No.
Yeah, I'm getting close, though. I could tell
that. You're kind of close.
You are closer than...
You're edging.
500.
No, you're close.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Who is the only vice president of the United States ever to write a song that became number one on the top 10 hit parade?
Charles Gates Dawes.
Ah!
And you know, what was the song?
It's All in the Game.
It's All in the Game.
He didn't write the word. He just wrote the melody, though.
Well.
And later on, they put
many
words to it.
Many a will fall, yeah, but
right.
It's all
yeah,
in
I think
the
it
game.
Was called, I don't know.
Many
it was like
what
Melody in F or Melody in G or something. It was a very simple title, but then somebody put words onto it later.
Maybe it's from a classical theme, too.
I don't know.
All right, well, I'll come back with a tougher question.
All right.
Well, that was a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to step on if you were going to say that, Joshua.
No.
It's one of those things that does turn up.
Many a what has to fall? What is that?
Many a tear.
Many a tear has to fall. But it's all in the game.
Right.
Okay.
And, Josh, it's your turn.
Well, let's see. What's the only team in the NHL to have moved from the U.S. to Canada?
Oh, NHL.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are hockey buffs.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you can tell, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well.
To move from where to?
From the U.S. to Canada.
Hmm.
The Edmonton Oilers.
It's not the Edmonton Oilers.
Do they have the same name?
Yeah.
Nickname?
The Canucks.
Not the Canucks. No.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Now you're just being silly.
No, those are all.
You come back and talk to me when you have a real answer.
All right.
What is the only NHL team to have relocated from the U.S. to Canada?
The Penguins?
Not the Penguins. I think they're still in Pittsburgh.
I think they are, yeah. Are you a hockey fan?
Oh, sure. Can't you
really?
Tell? No.
No, I didn't think so. When you're not listening to Wagner, you're watching the Red Wings.
It's a subtle distinction, but an important one.
If he wants to get beaten up, he doesn't have to go to Wagner.
Exactly. Go to the opera.
Yeah, exactly. And
just reveal who he is.
There's probably just as much violence at the opera, come to
there
think of
certainly
it.
Certainly is.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Bob in Inverdale.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. It's got to be Lee Marvin.
It is Lee Marvin, yes.
Okay.
Lee
really?
Marvin
wow.
is the only Academy Award-winning actor to be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Very
well
good.
Done.
How'd you know that, caller?
I actually saw him when I was on a honeymoon once in a restaurant, and I was just back from Vietnam myself.
Oh.
And I thought, this guy just set every warning thing in my
stay
body
away,
off.
Huh? Stay away, huh? Stay away.
He's bad. Tell yeah. me about him. And one of the guys said, you know, he was in Saipan in the Marines.
Yeah.
And he was shot in the ass.
Yeah, you got. I guess that's where he got his Purple Heart, being
that's
shot.
Yeah, he got his Purple Heart, but he was supposed to be, I mean, he really just appeared bad. And
he looked ornery even in the restaurant.
Then he started playing roles like Bad Day at Black Rock. And
he yeah. probably would have liked it had you gone over and said hello to him because you were back from Vietnam. Who
yeah,
knows?
Sure.
But,
possibly, but he was trying to walk. It was a restaurant called Frascati's in Santa Monica, and he was trying to walk across a room being inconspicuous.
Oh. That's pretty hard for
he
him,
was
huh?
So bad. You know, if you could imagine. Anyway, I asked about him. I found out. And
that's good.
I always just loved him from the Wild One on up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys. That's all I got.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
That's Robert in Berkeley then. I wanted to briefly return to two earlier questions. One is Jerry's question about the brownie. Jerry, did you specify the year in which that brownie was sold when you asked the question?
Well, 1912.
Oh, okay.
These are all 100 years old.
I missed that part.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The very first brownie was sold before 1901 and sold for a dollar, according to the...
Yeah, Dana figured it was about 10 years earlier that they were introduced, right?
Right. Yeah. Actually, I thought it was in the 1890s, actually. But yeah, okay, go ahead.
It may have started, but the first brownie was
sold for a dollar,
in
huh?
1901, mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be the same as the one Jerry was asking
yeah.
about. And the other question has to do with the etymology of Easter. I know it's an uphill battle fighting against wild etymologies. Ishtar was an ancient goddess of, I think, Babylonia, a goddess of sex, love, and war. And you have to realize that the word Easter is entirely an English and Germanic word. The rest of the Western languages use some variation of Pesach, you know, the Hebrew word for Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the various reliable dictionaries give the etymology of Easter as deriving from a root, an Indo-European, that means glowing and refers to a goddess of dawn that was located maybe in ancient Austria, and no connection to Ishtar. I'm sure Ed will apply some physics to disprove that. But
I'm sure he's burning at the lines right now.
You may well be correct right. on that.
What can I do? I believe linguistics. Anyway, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Yes, I boned up considerably on my knowledge of ancient history by watching the Ten Commandments last night.
Yeah.
And yes, it seems like every line of dialogue in that movie is a dramatic statement.
You like, watched the
behold his mighty wrath. You know, there's a lot of
you watched the whole thing again.
Every single hammy character actor in Hollywood is in that movie, by the way. I didn't watch the whole thing. I was just every so often I'd wander in the room and it would be on and I would watch a few minutes of it.
Edmund G. Robinson isn't
it's
hammy,
terrible,
but everyone
it's,
was a hammy actor in that
it's
movie.
It's funny in a sense, yeah.
Yeah, it always is, yeah.
so, yes. Edward G. Robinson. Yeah. And Vincent Price. All sorts of people turn up in weird ways. And, it's my turn. Let me see if I have a quick question I can throw in. What was the only painting that Van Gogh ever sold? It is now in the Pushkin Museum in Moscow.
Is that the one of his shoes?
No. It's not. His shoes are not in it.
Don't know.
Okay. What was the only painting that Van Gogh ever sold?
The one of his doctor whatever it is.
Dr. Gachet, no.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Okay.
So it's an outdoor scene. I will give you that. So
The crows or the crows? The ones?
I don't know.
I don't know what the title of it is.
I don't call any crows. But no.
Flying over the wheat field, cornfield.
Right. Yeah. What was the only painting that Van Gogh ever sold during his lifetime? If only I had known where he lived at the time. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
All right, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
I'm not expecting a bell. But anyway, I thought I'd try for the films that went on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is Star Wars on there?
Star Wars is indeed went in the first batch. It was the only one from the 70s
very depressing.
Great. Mm. Oh, I loved it. And then my question is, before Chicago was a musical, it was a play. What movie is based on that play?
Roxy Hart.
Yeah.
So I knew you guys would get it.
There's an earlier version of, there's a silent version of Chicago as well.
Oh, yeah?
Called
yeah.
Chicago?
Yeah, with Phyllis Haver.
And that's based on?
It's based on.
The same story?
Yeah, same story.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
1928 or 29, something like that. Okay.
Yeah, Ginger Rogers was in that.
Yeah, she was in Roxy.
Yeah, first straight role, I think. One of the first.
All right. Thank you, Thomas.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Mark in the Mission.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. Let's see. I wanted to guess. I think I was just proved wrong. I wanted to guess Bonnie and Clyde, but that would have been from the 70s.
Mm. Right. Yeah, no, it wasn't in the first batch.
I believe that's in the
I'm sure it is, register, but yeah.
But.
All right. And for the price of a house in 1912, what about $9.99?
No.
Okay. All right, thanks.
It's a little low.
Though I bet you could definitely get a house, a decent house, for under
$1,000. Well, this is a four-bedroom house, so that's a fairly good-sized house.
Right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Laura from Oakland.
Hi,
and
Laura.
I'd like to answer the seven-letter word that you can make into 10 letters.
Yes.
And do I get two bells if you can make it into 11?
You're darn right you do.
Tasking.
Tasking. Oh, well, that's not my word, but go ahead.
T-A-S-K-I-N-G?
Yep. Task, ask, a, as, skin, pin, in, I, asking, king, and
tie. Good job.
What does that mean? Wow. What does casking mean?
Tasking with a T.
Oh, with a T. Oh, I thought you said.
I gave you two bells.
Is this a Lauren Oakland I know?
I don't know.
I don't think so. You would know.
All right. Bye.
Thanks a lot. It wasn't the letter I had, but of course that's a good answer.
Tasking, that's good.
Tasking,
yeah.
And basking works the same.
Yeah.
And masking.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky Matter. How are you all doing?
Good.
Hi, good.
The hockey team in question for Josh is the Calgary Flames.
Exactly so.
Calgary what?
Calgary Flames.
Flames. I never
moved
heard of
from
that.
Atlanta in 1980.
Yeah, right.
Flames there too.
Were they the Flames there too? I didn't write that down, and
yes,
I don't know anything about
Atlanta
hockey.
Flames.
Okay, good.
And the Van picture.
Yes.
That was the only one sold during his lunchtime was the potato gatherers,
lunchtime.
I believe.
What's that?
The potato gatherers.
No.
Okay.
Oh. No.
And we're done. We're out.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Right. Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tom from San Francisco.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, I just wanted to call on the NHL team. There's actually a second one.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. The Atlanta Thrashers just moved this season and became the Winnipeg Jets.
Ooh, I guess I must have gotten this from some out-of-date source. Well, thank you so much.
It is quite interesting. They're both from Atlanta.
They're from both Atlanta. That's the question I should have asked. The only NHL teams moving from U.S. to Canada both came from what city?
Correct.
There you go. Thanks.
Because when I think of hockey, I think of Atlanta, Georgia.
It's true. Well, no, you don't, because they can't can't keep a hockey team.
It's a bad, poor business idea.
Exactly.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I see the answers. Between 1 PC and 1 AD, there's only 1 year. There's no year zero.
Okay.
The sun go around the center of the galaxy average about 230 million years.
Very good. 225 Ishtar I have. Excellent. Excellent. I knew you'd know that.
Ishtar is definitely, Ishtar is Ishtar, up to, Ishtar have been named for over 2,000 years since Christ's time. So a lot of dictionaries trace it to Europe, but everybody has to remember, Europe history is very, very new. Much newer, even medieval Europe is still much newer than 2,000 years ago, Middle East.
So okay.
The caller was wrong. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Ed.
All right.
He knocked it out.
We're going to clean up just a little bit early because we're going to play ourselves out with a little music. So go ahead, Jerry. What do you have?
The price of a Victrola console in 1912 was $150, and a new four-bedroom home was $2,750.
And The movies that were rushed onto the National Film Registry and at the 10-year mark, including Raging Bull, which Dana got, were Do the Right Thing, Fargo, Goodfellas, and Toy Story.
Huh.
And the second most liberal city in America after Detroit is Gary Indiana.
Oh, yeah. Insane. You want to sing that for us?
Gary Indiana. All right. The seven-letter, well, at least the one I had, the seven-letter word in English that contains 10 words without rearranging any of the letters, therein, there, he, in, rain, her, here, air, therein, herein.
So, wow.
There you go.
Very good.
What was the only painting that Van Gogh ever sold in his lifetime? That was the Red Vineyard at Arles. So, if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our thanks to our panelists, Jerry Nachman and Joshua Cosmos from the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you very much, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulip and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and the phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great holiday, everybody. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. And we will be here next week. We're going to play ourselves out with a little Easter music. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Never saw you dress quite so handsome. What's more, I could hardly wait to keep our days this lovely Easter morning. And my heart beat fast as I came through the door. In the Easter parade, I'll be all in clover, and when they look us over, we'll be the proudest couple in the Easter parade. On the Avenue, Fifth Avenue, bonnet, and of the guy I'm taking to the